We're going to start from Kuf Chaf Dalid Amud Aleph from the Mishnah. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us Kol Akilim Nitalin Letzorech Veshalu Letzorech. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Ein Nitalin Elu Letzorech. This Mishnah is referencing ideas that we've spoken a lot about the last few days, which is regarding the status of different types of utensils in terms of carrying on Shabbos. So according to the Chachamim, according to the Tanakhama, any type of kli is allowed to be carried on Shabbos for whatever reason. We'll see in the Gemara what those reasons are. Whereas Rabbi Nechemya, which is the opinion that we've been citing, you know, for the last 2 days, says that you're only permitted to carry a kli on Shabbos if it's litzorech, which again we'll define in the Gemara. So the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean? My litzorech umay shalo litzorech. Amar Rabba, litzorech davar shemalachto leheter, litzorech gufo, shalo litzorech davar shemalachto leheter, litzorech mekomo. So comes Rabba and explains the following, that when the Mishnah says litzorech, that means that I have a davar shemalachto leheter, something which is typically used for a permissible reason on Shabbos, and I'm using it for its intended function, whereas Shalo Litzorech means that same utensil, that same item, which is a kli shemalachto leheter, but instead of using it, I'm moving it out. Let's say it's sitting on the table, and I want to clear it off from the table, so that would be called Shalo Litzorech. That's also mutter. Then the Gemara says, V'davar shemalachto liyisr, Litzorech gufo in, Litzorech mekomo lo. So this was again, part of the initial takana. When it comes to a kli shemalachto liyisr, like a hammer, or like a pen, something which is typically used for an usher function, so then the Gemara says, I'm only allowed to use that litzorech gufo, meaning I can use it for a permissible function, like taking the hammer to crack open nuts, but litzorech mekomo would be problematic, meaning to say, I would not be allowed to move a hammer if it's sitting on my table, just to set the table. But also, Rabbi Nechemya lemeimar, v'afilu davar shemalachto leheter litzorech gufo in litzorech mekomo lo. Rabbi Nechemya, who, as we've already mentioned a few times, is the very machmir opinion here when it comes to Hilchos Muktzah, he thinks that even within a kli shemalachto leheter, even when we're discussing a kli whose primary function is permissible on Shabbos, you're only allowed to carry and use that kli if for its intended function, but not if it's blocking something else, not if it's sitting on your table and you want to set the table. According to Rebbe Nechemya, the only thing that you're allowed to do is to take a kli shemalachto leheter litzorech gufo, a kli whose primary function is leheter for that function. Whereas when it comes to a kli shemalachto leheter litzorech mekomo, if it's simply on my table and I want to set the table, Rabbi Nechemya would tell you that you're not allowed to move the kli in that case. Again, obviously we don't paskin like Rabbi Nechemya, but the Gemara is trying to explain what his position is. So the Gemara now pushes back a little bit. Amar le Rava, litzorech mekomo, shalo litzorech karis le. So Rava asks on Rabba, he says, why are you calling shalo litzorech something which is litzorech mekomo? Meaning, the first line of the Gemara told us that the way the Mishnah, in other words, that when the Mishnah uses the term shalo litzorech, what it really means is that the hammer or the kli is sitting on my table and I want to set the table. So in other words, moving that would be a problem because it's called shalo litzorech. So Rava asks, it's not called shalo litzorech, it's just called litzorech mekomo. Needing the spot where the hammer or the pen or the kli is sitting means that I need to move it because I want to set the table. That is a tzorech, that is a need, that is a necessity. Why is that called shalo litzorech? So the Gemara says, you're right, Ella Amar Rava, litzorech davar shemalachto leheter bein litzorech gufo bein litzorech mekomo. So comes Rava and says that when the Mishnah uses the term litzorech, that means that when I have a kli shemalachto leheter, a type of utensil whose primary function is permissible on Shabbos, I can use that and move it for any purpose, whether to use it or whether because it's blocking something else and I want to set the table. Whereas shalo litzorech, when the Mishnah uses the term shalo litzorech, va'afilu mechama litzel, that means, again, as we mentioned this yesterday, that you're not allowed to move something mechama litzel, right? If something, for example, is sitting out in the sun or in the rain and it's going to get ruined, so in certain scenarios at least, you would not be permitted to move that on Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, v'davar shemalachto liyisr, when it comes to a kli whose primary function is usr, like a hammer, for example, so then litzorech gufo, litzorech mekomo in, mechama litzel lo, so that type of a kli, I would be allowed to use. So for example, I want to use the hammer to crack open a nut, or the hammer is sitting on my table and I want to set the table. Those are both permissible reasons to move the hammer. But if the hammer is sitting outside in the sun and it's gonna get ruined, or it's in the rain or whatever, and it's gonna get ruined and I want to bring it in, that's a problem. For also Rabbi Nechemya lemeimar, afilu davar shemalachto leheter litzorech gufo litzorech mekomo in mechama litzel lo. Whereas Rabbi Nechemya again is very machmir here, because Rabbi Nechemya says that even a kli shemalachto leheter, even a utensil whose primary function is used for permissible reasons, I am only allowed to handle that if it's litzorech
Tzorech Gufo or Mekomo, meaning if I want to use the kli for its intended function or because it's on my table and I want to set the table, but if I simply want to move it out of the sun or the rain, I want to salvage it, I want to protect the kli, Rebbe Nechemya says that's a problem even for a kli shemalachto leheter. According to the Chachamim, that's only a problem mechamalitzel if it's a kli shemalachto leister, like the hammer. But according to Rebbe Nechemya, that concept of not moving something from the sun to the shade or the rain to inside to protect the kli is true for all kelim. It's true even for a kli whose primary function is permissible. Okay, so the Gemara now continues. Yosef Rav Safra v'Rav Acha bar Huna v'Rav Huna bar Chanina v'Yasve v'Kamre l'Raba Aliba de Rabbi Nechemya Hanei Ka'aros Hechi Metaltalina. So remember, the Gemara presented two versions of how machmir Rabbi Nechemya was. According to Rabba, Rabbi Nechemya was even more machmir than we thought. According to Rabba, Rabbi Nechemya only allows you to move a kli shemalachto leheter, in other words, a kli that's used for a mutter purpose, if you're going to use it for that purpose, whereas if the kli is simply sitting on the table and you want to move it to set the table, according to Rabba's version of Rabbi Nechemya, that would not be acceptable, whereas according to Rava's version of Rabbi Nechemya, that would be acceptable. That was the machlokas between Rabba and Rava. In other words, what was the scope of Rabbi Nechemya's chumrah? So the question is, if you accept Rabba's version, in other words, this very machmir understanding of Rabbi Nechemya, namely that he only allows you to move a kli shemalachto leheter to use it for its intended purpose, but not if it's simply blocking something and I want to set my table. So the question now becomes, well, what's the justification for me on Shabbos to move any sort of plates or dishes or cups or anything like that? Let's say I finished eating, right? So now, after lunch, I have all these plates on the table. So according to Rabba's version of Rabbi Nechemya, I should not be allowed to move those plates at all. Why? Because the only thing I'm going to do with them is to remove them. Let's say I finished lunch and I want to set the table for Shalosh Shunis. So, like, in other words, what right do I have to do that according to Rabba's version of Rabbi Nechemya, even though these are kli shemalachto leheter, these are completely permissible kelim, right? In other words, plates are used for permissible things. They're used to eat from, which is obviously mutter on Shabbos. The question becomes, what right do I have to move these plates according to Rabba's version of Rabbi Nechemya? He's basically, in other words, the Gemara is basically asking, how do you ever clean your table on Shabbos according to Rabba's version of Rabbi Nechemya? So what's the answer to this question? So Amar Lahura Safra, Midi Dahava Agrav Shel Rei, comes Rav Safra and explains that this is similar, or this is parallel to what's known in Halacha as a Grav Shel Rei. A Grav Shel Rei basically means something which is disgusting, which smells disgusting. Let's say, for example, you have a dirty diaper of a baby, or you have a pile of dog feces or whatever it is lying around the house. So the halacha is that even though normally those things are objectively muktzah, you're not going to do anything with a dirty diaper, obviously. But the Gemara has this principle called a graf shel rei. When something is disgusting on Shabbos, you are allowed to move it out of the way. So this, in other words, plates that are filled with half-eaten food and whatever is also considered in that same category. So Amar le Abai le Rabba lemar aliba de Rabbi Nechemya hani ka'aros hechi metaltalina lehu. So Amar le Rav Safra chavrin. So Amar le Rav Safra chavrin targuma midi dehava graf shel rei. So the Gemara just says that Rabba basically gave this answer explicitly. In other words, Rabba told Abaye that Rav Safra's answer is correct. In other words, that's my justification. Again, even though I have this, again, this is Rabba talking, I have this very machmir, understanding of Rabbi Nechemya's position, but the reason why I allow you, or I think Rabbi Nechemya will allow you to move these plates on Shabbos, is again based on the halachic principle known as graf shel rei, which is the same justification to move dirty diapers and things like that on Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara now pushes back on this. The Gemara says, "Esivei abaya l'rava medocha im yesh ba shum metaltalinosa v'im lav ein metaltalinosa." So again, questioning the premise of what we just said before, the Gemara now cites a brisa which we actually quoted on yesterday's daf, which says that if I have a mortar and pestle, so the only way that I'm allowed to carry that on Shabbos is if there's garlic inside of the mortar and pestle. What does that mean exactly? So we already spoke about this yesterday and the day before, which is that, again, a mortar and pestle is typically a kli shemalachto liyaser, right? Usually, you're only going to use it for the malacha of tochin, for grinding things. So what right do I have to carry a mortar and pestle? Well, in theory, if I wanted to, turn it into a chair, turn it upside down and sit on it. So in theory, that would be called a kli shemalachto liyaser litzorech gufo, right? So The question here becomes, so how could you say according to Rava? Again, remember, Rava has the more makil version of Rabbi Nechemiah, because Rava is the one who tells us that Rabbi Nechemiah allows you to move a kli shemalachto leheter both litzorech gufo and litzorech makomo. The only thing that you can't do with it is to move a mechama litzel, to move it, you know, from the sun to the shade. That you're not allowed to do. But here the problem is that we're dealing with a kli shemalachto leheter. So the question is, according to Rava, so why does the Brisa say that, oh, if there's garlic in the mortar and pestle, then I can carry it, but if there's no garlic, then it's a problem? The question is, I don't understand. According to Rava, I thought anything which is Litzorech Makomo is automatically going to be mutter, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, because remember, Rava had the more makil version of Rabbi Nechemiah. So why can't I move the mortar and pestle even if there's no garlic in it? So the Gemara says, no. Again, these are the answers that we kind of saw also on yesterday's daf a little bit. The Gemara says, no, the case that we're dealing with here is where it's not that, you know, the mortar and pestle is sitting on my table and I want to move it away to set the table. The case is where someone left the mortar and pestle outside and I want to bring it in to salvage it from the rain, from the heat, whatever. So the Gemara says that's going to be usher according to everyone. In other words, both according to Rabbah and Rava's version of Rabbi Nechemiah, that's going to be problematic. So the Gemara tries again with another brisa that we quoted yesterday. Asivei v'shavin she'em kitzev alav basar she'asu l'taltlo. This is discussing chopping meat on yontif. So again, let's say a person carries out this mortar and pestle or some kind of a cutting board with meat on it on yontif. So the Gemara says that once you've already chopped up your meat, it now becomes usher. It's now muktzah to carry out that mortar and pestle or cutting board. Why? Because once you've chopped up the meat, it no longer has a function, right? In other words, initially you were carrying it out because you wanted to chop meat, which is obviously mutter on yontif to chop meat. It's ochel nefesh. But once you finish chopping the meat, so now the kli no longer has a use. The question is, what do you mean? Why don't we say litzorech makoma? What if the mortar and pestle, what if the cutting board is sitting on my table and I want to set the table? Remember, so according to Rava's version of Rabbi Nechemiah, I should be allowed to move the cutting board. So the Gemara once again says, no. Hachanami mechama litzel. The same answer we gave before. The case is where the cutting board or the mortar and pestle is sitting outside in the sun or in the rain and I want to move it in to salvage it from being ruined. Okay, so the Gemara now asks again. V'hadis now v'mishnah meseches beitza ain somchin es hakedera bevikas v'chein bedelas. The Mishnah at the end of meseches beitza tells us that a person is not allowed to take a pot or a door on Shabbos and prop it up with a piece of wood. What's the issue here? So the Gemara explains. V'habikas diviyantiv davar shemalachto leheter hu alma davar shemalachto leheter bein litzorech gufo bein litzorech mekomo aser. Now the Gemara, based on the Mishnah and Beitza, says that really we should be even more machmir than Rabbi Nechemiah himself is. Because again, remember, Rabbi Nechemiah is being very machmir when it comes to Hilchos Muktzah, but the Mishnah in Beitza is telling us that a person is not allowed to, let's say, take his pot and prop it up with a piece of wood. What's the issue? So wood on yontif is not muktzah. Why not? Because technically you are allowed, again, you can't light a fire on yontif, but you can, you know, use a pre-existing flame to cook with. So in other words, a chip of wood, which is going to be used for firewood, is not objectively muktzah on yontif. So if it's not muktzah, that means that it's a klisha malachto leheter, right? It has a mutter use, and the Mishnah in Beitza still says that I'm not allowed to use it to prop up a pot. So that sounds like that a klisha malachto leheter is going to be usher to use for any purpose, even litzorech gufo. That seems to be against what everything that we've been saying up until now. Even the most machmir understanding of Rabbi Nechemiah doesn't seem to say this. So the question is, how do you square this Mishnah in Beitza with our understanding of Rabbi Nechemiah? So the Gemara says, no. Hasa maitaima kevan divishabis davar shemalachto liyisruhu gzeira yantifatu shabis. The Gemara says something which seems to be a little bit startling here. The Gemara says that, well, since on Shabbos a chip of wood is objectively muktzah, because we know, of course, that you can't use a flame on Shabbos under any circumstances, so because on Shabbos it's mukta, Chazal made a gzeira derabanan forbidding you from using the wood on yontif, because we're afraid if you let you use it on yontif, you may end up using it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what does that even mean? V'chi tema Shabbos gufe tishterei dehadavar shemalachto liyisr litzorech gufo ulitzorech mekomu sharei. The Gemara says, well, hang on one second. Before we start conflating Shabbos and yontif, let's just look at Shabbos itself. Maybe even on Shabbos itself, it should be permissible to use this chip of wood. Why? Because even though it's true that a chip of wood on Shabbos is obviously muktzah because it has no function, but who cares that it's muktzah? It's a klisha malachto liyisr, and we know, as we've already been mentioning, at least according to the Chachamim, you are allowed to move a klisha malachto liyisr litzorech gufo or litzorech makoma. Meaning, if I can come up with a way to use a chip of wood that does not involve a fire, like in our example, like propping up a pot, or if let's say it's just sitting on the table and I want to set my table, then it should be permissible to move that. So the Gemara is asking, so in other words, even within Shabbos itself, it should be mutter to move this chip chip of wood. Why is the Gemara saying, oh, on Yontif you can't do this? The Gemara is saying, forget about Yontif. This should be mutter on Shabbos to do also, because even though, yes, it's muktzah on Shabbos, but who cares? It's a klisha malach doliyah, sir, and as we know, you're allowed to move that if it's letzorech gufo or letzorech makomo. So the Gemara says, well, that's not entirely true. The Gemara says, hani mile, hecha de'ika toras kli alav, hecha de'leka toras kli alav lo. The Gemara says, that principle, that notion, that I'm allowed to move a klisha malach doliyah on Shabbos if it's letzorech gufo or makomo, meaning if I'm using it either for a mutter function or I'm moving it because it's just, you know, because it's just in the way, that's assuming that it's actually a kli, meaning the Gemara is taking that term kli shemalach toliyaser very literally. It has to literally be a kli. A chip of wood doesn't really qualify as a kli. It's not really a utensil in the classic sense of the word. So therefore, the Gemara says that that concept, that heter of moving a kli shemalach toliyaser with tzorech gufo or mekomo would not extend to a chip of wood. Okay, so now the Gemara circles back to the point we made before, which is umi gazrinan. Is that even true in the first place that we make gzeros about yontif because of Shabbos? Does that whole principle even make any sense? In other words, the Chazal are going to tell me, don't use the chip of wood on Yontif, because if you use it on Yontif, you may end up using it on Shabbos. Is there even a precedent for that? For Hasnam, we have a mission in Beitza, if anything, that seems to say the opposite of that. Mishilin peros derech aruba biyontif avalo b'Shabbos. The mission in Beitza tells us that a person is permitted to lower fruit through the opening, the skyline on his roof on Yontif, but not on Shabbos. Now, what exactly is the issue here? So again, the Gemara is in Maseches Beitza discuss, you know, there are issues of tircha, and there are other issues involved here. But the point is of this Mishnah is that you see clearly the Chazal were not concerned that we were going to start conflating and confusing Shabbos and Yontif. If they were, then they would have told you that you can't lower fruit in the skyline on Shabbos or on Yontif, right? The fact that they're allowing you to do this on Yontif but not on Shabbos seems to imply that generally we're not supposed to make these types of gezeiros.
Yeah.
Anything which is mutter on Yontif, well, right, except obviously for Ochel Nefesh, because Ochel Nefesh is written in the Torah. So again, when we're dealing with Yisurei Durabanan, correct, that's exactly the Gemara's question. So anytime you can find something which is only mutter on Yontif, but not on Shabbos, you have this problem. So the Gemara now pushes back. The Gemara says, Umi lo gazrinan, v'hasnan ein ben Yontif l'Shabbos ela Ochel Nefesh b'mat. The Mishnah in Megillah, famous Mishnah Megillah, says that the only difference between Shabbos and Yontif is in terms of Ochel Nefesh, which of course is written in the Torah. So that obviously you can't debate. The implication, obviously, is that when it comes to every other Isra Durabban on the planet, it sounds like everything else is going to be exactly identical. So how, in other words, so now the Gemara is assuming that actually Shabbos and Yontif should basically be the same with the exception of Ochel Nefesh. How could we start to arbitrarily distinguish between the two? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Amar Rav Yosef, lo kashya, ha Rav Eliezer, ha Rav Yehoshua, desanya, oso v'yespeno shenaflu labor, Rav Eliezer omer male es harishon amenas l'shochto v'shochto, v'hasheni oso lo parnasa b'mekomo b'shvil shelo yamas. Rabbi Yehoshua omer male es harishon amenas l'shochto ve'eno shochto umar mumale es hasheni ratza zeshochid ratza zeshochid. This is actually a Gemara that we saw a little bit earlier back on Daf, I think it was Daf Tzadi here. So the Gemara quoted this machlokas earlier in a different context, but now the Gemara is saying, well, maybe one can suggest that this discrepancy, this question about whether we should impose gzeros derabanan on Yontif because of Shabbos may in fact really be a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua in Maseches Chulin. What's the context of this machlokas? So again, we spoke about this, you know, a month ago or so, where the Gemara in Chulin discusses the halacha, the isser known as osovies beno. The Torah says in Parshas Emor, osovies beno lo sishchatu biyom echad. There's an isser de oraisa to shecht a mother animal and her child on the same day. So the Gemara in Chulin is discussing a case where where the mother and her child happen to fall into a pit on Yontif, and the question is, how do you come? In other words, how do you go about saving and salvaging those animals on Yontif? If at all. In the Gemara earlier, when we quoted this machlokas, it was in the context of ha'arama, of doing things in a deceitful manner. But here the Gemara is focusing more on the Yontif Shabbos aspect. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is what you have to do. Rabbi Eliezer says you pick up the first animal, again, either one, either the mother or the child, and you pick it up, that animal, almanas, that you're going to shecht it, and then you actually go ahead and shecht that animal, which is obviously, which is technically mutter on Yontif to do shechita, even though Basman said we don't really do shechita on Yontif for technical reasons, but technically it is mutter to do shechita on Yontif. And then the second animal, which you're leaving in the pit, you just kind of throw food to the animal and let it eat for the rest of the Yontif. Then once the Yontif is over, you'll take it out of the pit. Whereas Rabbi Yehoshua says you don't have to do that. Rabbi Yehoshua says what you can do is you can pull out the first animal and say, I have in mind to shecht it. Pull it out. Don't do anything to it. Pull out the second animal with the same kavana. And then once you do that, you can decide which animal you want to shecht. So the Gemara says this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua about whether you're allowed to pull both animals out of the pit on Yontif for only one, not the other, lichora, is the same machlokas that we were mentioning before right? In other words, in terms of whether it makes sense to impose a gzera on Shabbos for Yatif. Again, obviously on Shabbos, this is not going to be mutter at all, because shechita on Shabbos is obviously usher. So the question, this issue about, can I pull out both, can I only pull out one, this seems to be the question, this seems to be the machlokas. So the Gemara says, it's not necessarily true. The Gemara says, mimai, dilma ad kan lo ka'amar, rabbi liezer hasam, ela de efsher lefarnasa, aval hecha de lo efsher lefarnasa lo, ina mi ad kan lo ka'amar, rabbi hoshua hasam, de efsher baharama, aval hecha de lo efsher baharama lo. The Gemara says that I can show you how both of these opinions could be deflected. In other words, the Gemara says, maybe the only reason why Rabbi Eliezer holds that you have to leave the second animal in the pit and feed it for the rest of Yadif, maybe is only because you actually have the option to do that. You have enough food to feed that animal. But maybe one could argue that if you did not have sufficient food to feed the second animal by leaving it in the pit, maybe Rabbi Eliezer would agree that you could pull it out of the pit on Yadif. And also, on the other hand, the Gemara says that when it comes to Rabbi Yehoshua's position, one could argue that maybe Rabbi Yehoshua only allows you to pull both animals out because he holds that you can invoke this principle of ha'arama, which again we spoke a lot about earlier, the idea of doing something in like a deceitful manner, because at least it looks like you're doing it for Yantiv. At least, you know, people think that, oh, look, you know, he's pulling the animal out because he wants to shecht it and eat it on Yantiv. So at least there's a way that people might think that you're doing something which is permissible. But in the context of the Mishnah and Beitzah, when you're lowering the fruit through the skyline, no one's going to think that you're doing something permissible. One could argue that even Rabbi Yehoshua is going to forbid that. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, this machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, we're not 100% convinced that this is the same issue about whether it makes sense to impose gzeros on Yontif for Shabbos. Okay.
So, why couldn't you argue that lowering the fruit from the skyline on Yontif is you're going to wind up cooking it, eating it?
Well, that apparently was not the issue. That I think was a relatively far-fetched concern. Meaning, like, to say that I'm going to lower fruit and then I'm going to do, in theory, you could do anything to the fruit. You could peel it, you could cut it, you could do borer, you could do a million things, but the act itself of lowering the fruit, the assumption is it's, again, the truth is it's not really even a malacha, as Rashi pointed out, it's really more of a tircha issue, which again, on Yontif we're going to be more mekel, but on Shabbos we're going to be more machmir. So
I thought they were worried about haramba, you know, with the animals, so therefore you would... I thought maybe you could use the same harama.
So it's the implication is that in the case of the fruit, the idea of harama doesn't really work, because no one thinks that when you're lowering fruit through the skyline that you're really gonna, like, you're doing it because you want to eat it. If you wanted to eat the fruit, you just bring it through the front door. You wouldn't lower it through the skyline. That seems to be a little bit excessive. Okay, so the Gemara now says Elo Amar of Papa Lokashia Habes Shamai Habesel. So now the Gemara tries with another possible way of explaining this discrepancy between, you know, making zeros on Yontif for Shabbos, that maybe it's really a machlokas Beis Shamai Habesel. The Snan Beis Shamai Omrim Ein Motzian Es Hakatan Vias Halula Vias Sefer Torah LeRishus Harabim Uves Hillel Matir. It's a famous Mishnah in Maseches Beitza that presents a machlokas between Beis Shamai and Beis Hillel regarding the following. According to Beis Shamai, a person is not permitted on Yontif to carry his very young child. Again, obviously we're talking about a child who can't really walk on their own, so carrying a child, or your lulav, or your sefer Torah to a rishus harabim. Again, obviously on Shabbos, these are all going to be usher according to everyone, because on Shabbos, you know, again, if you're not in a place with an eruv, or if you're in a real rishus harabim, that's obviously usher to carry. On Yontif, that's a big machlokas in the Gemara, whether the isser of hotzah applies or not. We usually assume that hotzah does not apply on Yontif, so therefore, so Beis Shammai says that these things are going to be usher, whereas Beis Hillel thinks that it's going to be mutter. So if you just stop the Mishnah and Beitza right there, so I would have said that Beis Shammai obviously says that the reason why you can't carry the kid or the Torah or the lulav on Yontif is because it's a gzera for Shabbos. If we let you do it on Yontif, you may be doing it on Shabbos, whereas Beis Hillel obviously does not agree with that. So the Gemara explains, Emor de Shamas Lehula Beis Shammai Hutzah, Tiltu Mi Shamas Lehula. So the Gemara kind of pushes back a little bit. The Gemara says, maybe Beis Shammai only forbade these, you know, carrying the kid or the lulav or the Torah because he was concerned regarding the Isser of Hutzah. Right? Hutzah is a real malacha. It's an Isser de Oraisa to carry from a Rishus Harabim to Rishus Yachid, or to carry four amos within a Rishus Harabim. But Tiltul Mukta, carrying Mukta, is only an Isser Durabanan. So one could argue that maybe Beis Shammai would not see fit to impose these Gzeros just because of Mukta. So the Gemara says, but hang on one second. The Gemara says, V'tiltul Gufe Lab Mishum Hotzahi, but isn't the whole Isser of carrying Mukta in the first place, isn't that a Gzero Durabanan because Chazal were afraid that you may end up coming to carry and violating the Isser of Hotzah? That was the reason why Chazal imposed the Isser Durabanan of Mukta to begin with, right? So the Gemara says, it doesn't make sense to distinguish between, in other words, even though, yes, it's true that technically carrying muktzah is only an Isra Durabanan, and carrying in a Rishus HaRabim is an Isra Doraisa, but the whole reason why Chazal made an Isra Durabanan of carrying muktzah is because they were afraid that you may end up ultimately come to carry in the Rishus HaRab. Now again, that this idea is not so pasha. There are some Rishonim who give other reasons. Like, for example, the Rambam thinks that the reason why there's an Isra of carrying muktzah is more fundamental about Kavod Shabbos. The Chazal were afraid that if we let you just carry whatever you want, you may come to, you know, to undermine some of the aspects of Kavod Shabbos. So again, there are other reasons given in the Rishonim, but the simplest reason the Gemara seems to be presenting is the fact that it's a gezeira that we're afraid you're going to come to carry in the Rishus HaRab. Okay, so the Gemara now says Va'af Rav Savar La Laha Derava to Amar Rav Mar Shelo Yiganev Zehu Tiltul Shelo Letzorech Va'aser Taima Shelo Yiganev Ava Letzorech Gufo Letzorech Mekomu Mutter. So the Gemara now says that Rav also subscribes to Rav. Again, remember, we're circling all the way back to the previous Amma now, this Machlokas that we had between Rava and Rava regarding the scope of the chumrah of the position of Rabbi Nechemya, where we said that Rava had the more mako version, where, in other words, Rava said that it was only a problem to carry a kli shemalachto leheter if it's mechamal itself, to salvage it from the sun or the rain, whereas if I'm doing it with tzorach gufor mekomo, Rava says that according to Rabbi Nechemya that would be mutter. Rava thought that that would only be mutter letzorach gufo, but not letzorach mekomo. That was the machlokas we had on the previous summit. So now the Gemara is circling back to that machlokas and is pointing out that Rav also subscribes to the more mako version of Rabbi Nechemya that Rav presented. How do we know that? Because Rav tells us that, let's say I have a shovel that I left outside on Shabbos, so the Gemara says that if the only reason why I'm carrying the shovel is because I don't want it to get stolen, that's called shalo letzorach. That's a problem. So in other words, you're not allowed to carry a shovel on Shabbos if your only concern is to prevent it from being stolen. So what's the obvious implication? That in other words, it's only a problem to carry the shovel if my intent is to prevent it from getting stolen, but if my intent is to use it for a mutter purpose, let's say, I don't know, I want to use the shovel to crack open nuts, I want to use the shovel, or let's say I want to move the shovel because it's blocking something, it's on my table, whatever, so that sounds like it's mutter. So this would seem, so the fact that Rav said that it's only a problem to move a shovel to prevent, you know, to prevent theft, that sounds like he holds like Rav's version of Rabbi Nechemya and not Rav's version of Rabbi Nechemya. So the Gemara says that's not necessarily true. The Gemara says, Ini, v'ha Rav kahana ikla levei Rav, v'amar aisu le shusa le kahana le seva le, lav lememra de davar shemalachtu li yisr de tzorach gufa win le tzorach mekom alo. The Gemara says, hang on one second. One time, Rav Kahana went to visit Rav, right? So, Rav Kahana was Rav's primary Talmud. So he went to visit Rav, and he said, "Bring out a net for me, for Kahana to sit on." Right, and so in other words, the fact that he said that, so the Gemara says, doesn't that imply that if I have a klisha malachta lisa? Again, the assumption here is that this net is obviously l'isser, because let's say a net is usually used for trapping animals, which is obviously an isser d'oraisa on Shabbos, right? It's malach of tzad. So the Gemara says the fact that he was saying, "Bring out the net for me to sit on," the implication is that the only thing that you're allowed to do with this net is to use it for a mutter purpose, like sitting. So a klisha malachto liyisr is only mutter letzorech gufo, right? But it sounds like letzorech makomo. If let's say the net was sitting on the table, it sounds like you would not be allowed to move that, which is a problem because before in the Gemara we just proved that Rav seems to side with Rava, where Rava holds that according to Rabbi Nechemya you're allowed to move it whether letzorech gufo or letzorech makomo. Now he seems to be siding with Rava. So the Gemara says no. Hachi amar lehu shkolu shusa. The Gemara says no. We could actually reinterpret the facts of the story. Either Rav Kahana didn't ask for a net to be brought out to him to sit on, but rather he asked for the net to be removed. So asking for the net to be removed because it was in the way, that's clearly the tzorach makomo. Or the other option in the story is to say that Rav Kahana simply wanted to salvage the net. The net was sitting outside. Let's say he laid a trap before Shabbos and he forgot to bring the net in, and now he wants to bring the netting back in. So that's the case where it's going to be a problem. But the implication is going to be that maybe Rav can still hold like Rava's more mako version of Rabbi Nechemya. Okay. The Gemara now says, Rav Mari Baruch El Havale Hahi Beistad Yusa B'Shimsha. So Rav Mari Baruch El had these like very expensive felt cushions or felt pillows that were left out in the sun on Shabbos. Asa Lekame De Rava Amar Le Mahu L'Taltu Linu. He asked Rava, what would the din be? Am I allowed to carry these on Shabbos? So Amar Le says, sure, yeah, it's totally fine. Because again, remember, this is Rava's own opinion. in general within Rabbi Nechemya that it's going to be mutter, because he, again, this is a klisha malachto leheter that we're talking about here, right? Again, pillows are not used for usher purposes, generally speaking. So the way that we paskin, in other words, like the chachamim, you're allowed to move a klisha malachto leheter even mechama letzel, even from the sun. It's only Rabbi Nechemya who disputes that. But again, the way we paskin, it should be mutter. So the Gemara then pushes back. So then Rav Mari said to him, so he says, Isli acharina. He says, yeah, but I have other pillows. In other words, I don't need these pillows, you know, specifically. So Rav said, no, it's still okay, because chazul orchin, no, because maybe you'll have more guests showing up. So he says, no, Isli nami lorchin, I have plenty of pillows for my guests too. So Amar Le, so Rav says to Rav Mari Barachel, Golis adaitech de karaba svirlacha, l'chuli amashuri l'didach asir. He says, it's clear to me that you are siding with Rabba. The fact that you keep on pushing back and say, no, but I have more pillows. No, but but I have enough for the guests already. That clearly shows that you're holding like Rabba. So Rabba says, Meikar Adin, we don't paskin like Rabba. Nobody paskins like Rabba. But you, Mari Bar Rachel, you for some reason decided to paskin to follow Rabba, who is his Rebbe. So he says, for you, it's going to be usher to move these pillows because you decided to follow Rabba. But for everybody else in your situation, it would have been mutter. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chia Barashi, Amar Rav. Machbedos shel milsa mutter letaltalan b'shabis avol shel tomorrow lo. Comes the Gemara and says that if I have a broom that is made out of this very expensive silk or you know something like that, then it's mutter to carry because you can use the silk part of the broom for your own purposes. But if it's made out of like the wood from a date palm, from a date tree, so then it's going to be problematic. In other words, the assumption is that if the broom is made out of silk, you're not using it to like sweep the floor or sweep your dirt floors and create holes in the floor, but you're probably using it as a form, as kind of like a medieval form of like a vacuum for your clothing almost. It's like, you know, because if it's made out of this very fine silk, you're going to use it almost like a brush to brush off dirt off your clothing, which is obviously mutter on Shabbos. Whereas if it's made out of this much more rough material from a palm tree, you're going to use it to sweep your dirt floors, which could potentially create holes, which is a malacha of choresh, which is therefore going to make this into a klisha malachto liyeser. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, no, afshel tamar. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar says, even if the broom is made out of the palm fronds, it's still going to be mutter to sweep with. So the Gemara says, "B'may askin, what's the case here? Ilema letzorach gufa uletzorach makomo, b'halim arav shel tamara lo." He says, if you're going to tell me that the case is where I need the broom either letzorach gufa or makomo, meaning, let's say the broom with the palm fronds, either I want to use it to whatever, I don't know, crack open nuts, or I want to use it as a paperweight or whatever, or it's sitting on my table and I want to move it. So if that's the case, so how could Rav possibly say that that's usher for harav kiravasvirle? We already established, we already proved in our Gemara time and time again that Rav holds like Rava, namely that a klisha malachto liyisur is mutter to move whether letzorech gufo or letzorech makomo. Even though this type of a broom that's made out of palm fronds is typically used to create holes in the ground, which is generally speaking a malacha, but if I'm going to use it for a mutter purpose or if it's in the way, that we hold like Rava that you're allowed to move that. So what exactly is the issue here? So the Gemara says, Ela mechama letzel, if you're going to tell me the issue is that the broom was left out in the sun and you want to salvage it and bring it into the house, the Gemara says that also doesn't make any sense because lema Rabbi Elazar afshel tamara, because the problem is that Rabbi Elazar says, we said in the Gemara that he holds even the broom that's made out of palm fronds is okay. But the question is, why would that be okay? I thought that anything that you're moving mechama letzel from the sun to the shade is a problem to move on Shabbos. Why would Rabbi Elazar say that it's mutter? So the Gemara says, you're right. Lo'ola mechama letzel, ima v'chein amar Rabbi Elazar. You have to amend the Braisa. The Braisa should not have said Rabbi Elazar Omer. It should have said v'chein amar Rabbi Elazar. In other words, Rabbi Elazar also concedes, also agrees with the statement in the previous statement, namely that it's actually a problem to move the broom with the palm fronds on it. Again, only in the case of mechama letzel. So in other words, in the Gemara's conclusion, if you left a broom that's typically used to sweep dirt floors out in the sun, you would not be allowed to move that on Shabbos. Whereas if you wanted to use it for a mutter purpose, or if it was blocking your table, then you would be allowed to move it. That's the Gemara's maskana. Okay. The Mishnah now says, Kol hakelim hanitolin b'Shabbos, shivrehen nitolin imahen, uvilvad shiyu osin mi'ein malacha. So the Mishnah tells us that if I have a kli, any kli which you're allowed to carry on Shabbos, not only can you carry the kli itself, but you can also carry the shivrei kelim. You can also carry the broken shards of that kli, as long as the broken shards still have some sort of functionality. Meaning, if they're not broken beyond repair, if they could still be used for some purpose, you would be allowed to carry them on Shabbos. And the Mishnah explains.
Is the implication here that that item broke on Shabbos?
Okay, good. We're gonna see that in the Gemara. The Gemara's gonna discuss that in a second. Okay, so the Mishnah gives some examples. Shivrei areva lechasos bohenes piachavis. Shivrei zechuches lechasos bohenes piapach. So comes the Mishnah and says, it's not like the, you know, know, the shards of the kli need to be used for their original function, as long as they have some sort of a purpose, then it's mutter to carry. So for example, if let's say I had a mixing bowl and the mixing bowl cracked a little bit, and now I have some shards for the mixing bowl, so if it's still functional enough where I can cover a barrel with it, that's good enough. Or if let's say I have shards, I have pieces of glass, but I can still use it to cover some kind of a flask, that's fine. So according to the Tanakhama, as long as the shards have some sort of use, that's enough. That's enough of a justification to allow you to carry that on Shabbos. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bilvad sheyehu osin me'ein melach dan. Shivri areva latzuk l'sochan mikba v'shol zechuches latzuk l'sochan shem. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not enough that the shards have functionality. They need to still be used for their original function. They need to still be able to operate for their originally intended purpose. Specifically, if let's say in the case of the bowl, the mixing bowl, so the shards need to still be able to hold some soup. So in other words, if the shards are just a flat piece of the bowl, that's obviously not going to work. If you still have a significant chunk of the bowl left, that would be okay. Well, in the case of the glass, if it's enough to hold oil in the flask, that would be okay. But if it's completely shattered beyond that point, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be mukta on Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Machlokes Shenishberu Me'erev Shabbos. This is what Billy was just talking about before. The Machlokes in our Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda regarding what level of functionality do the shards require? Is it just that they have to operate in some fashion, or they have to still be able to function for their originally intended purpose? That is a Machlokes only in a case where the Kli broke before Shabbos. Namely, the Mar Shavar Mein Malach Donin Mein Malacha Acheres Lo Umar Shavar Afilu Mein Malacha Acheres. That's the Machlokas. In other words, do we say that the shards have to operate for their originally intended purpose? That's Rabbi Huda. Or no, as long as they have some kind of a function, that's the Tanakama, then it would be okay. Avol Nishberu B'Shabes Divrei Hakol Mutarin Ho'olu Muchanin Agabe Avien Mutar. But if the Kli broke on Shabbos itself, then everyone agrees that it's going to be mutter to use those shards. Even Rabbi Huda agrees. Going to be mutter. Why? Because when Shabbos began, the kli was fully intact, and therefore these shards are considered to be like set aside, right? In other words, together with the actual body of the kli. So even if the shards have no function anymore, but if it's shattered on Shabbos, according to this Gemara, it would be mutter to carry. So the Gemara now pushes back on that. The Gemara says, "Hang on a second. Mosiv Rav Zutrai Masikin Bechilim Ve'in Masikin Beshivrei Chilim." So the problem with this, however, is that we have a Mishnah earlier on that tells us that a person is allowed on Shabbat, on Yontif to take a full kli and use it for a fire. So let's say you had a fire going on Yontif, and you want to keep the flame going. So if you want to take one of your jugs and throw it into the fire, you can do that. But what you cannot do, says the Mishnah, is to take shivrei kelim. So to take broken shards of the jug on Yontif to put into your fire is a problem. So the Gemara says, what's the case here? Dinishperu emas. When exactly did this jug break? Ilema dinish. If the jug broke before Yontif, so then why is it a problem to use even the shivrei kelim? In other words, the shards have the halachic status of a piece of wood, and we know, as we already mentioned earlier on this daf, a piece of wood on Yontif is not mukta. A piece of wood on Yontif is used for enhancing a fire, which is okay. So elo lav biyontif v'katani masikin mechelim v'ein masikin meshivrei kelim. It must be therefore that the case is where the jug broke on Yontif itself, and the Gemara still tells us that the only thing that you're allowed to do with this is to light a fire with the full kli, but not with the broken shards. That's what it sounds like. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo iid mar hachi. This must be the case. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, machlokes shenishberu b'shabes. The Gemara says that we totally misunderstood the case. We thought we were talking about a kli that shattered on Yontif. In reality, the Gemara was discussing a kli that shattered on Shabbos. Demar savar muchanu, umar savar nolahu. The machlokes is, do we say that those shards are considered to be set aside from beforehand together with the main body of the kli? That's the Tanakama. Or do we say that no, that these shards are nolad? In other words, that these shards effectively never existed when Shabbos began, because when Shabbos began, it was a full kli and now they're shards. So now it's like a different entity. However, if this happened before Shabbos, if the kli broke before Shabbos, then everyone agrees that the shards are going to be mutter to carry. Why? Because they were set aside from beforehand, right? They were clearly designated for a purpose from before Shabbos. They had a specific function to use for a mutter purpose on Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara now points out that we seem to have a three-way contradiction here between three brises. So the Gemara says, Tani chada masikin mechelem ve'im masikin meshivrei chelem v'sani idach kishim shemasikin mechelem kach masikin meshivrei chelem v'sani idach im masikin lo bechelem lo meshivrei chelem. So you have three contradictory brises. One brisa says that you can only use full kelem, not shards. The second brisa says that you can use both, and the third brisa says that you can use neither. How do you resolve those three brises? So the Gemara says there are obviously three different opinions in the Tanaim. Ha Rabbi Huda, Ha Rabbi Shimon, Ha Rabbi Nechemiah. This comes back to a topic in Hilchos Mos that we've spoken a lot about before. Namely, Rabbi Huda is the one who says, in other words, Rabbi Huda basically subscribes to Hilchos Muktzah on Yantif as well. So Rabbi Huda says that you're only allowed to use a full kli to throw into the fire because that was obviously mutter when Yantif began. Whereas if there are shards, they're going to be Muktzah. Rabbi Shimon, as we've mentioned already countless times in this Masechta, Rabbi Shimon basically denies almost all of Hilchos Muktzah, both on Shabbos and on Yantif. Again, with a couple of exceptions, but generally speaking, he denies Hilchos Muktzah. So he's going to tell you can do whatever you want in the flame. And Rabbi Nechemiah, as we've seen in the last few days, is very machmir when it comes to Hilchos Muktzah. So he's going to tell you that everything is usher, whether it's a full kli or shards of a kli. So that's the way to resolve these three statements. Okay. Amar of Nachman.
Why wouldn't any object, regardless of what it is, be able, as long as it could be used to fuel a fire, be able to be thrown into that fire on Shabbos, even if it's no use for it typically.
You mean on Yontif? You mean on Yontif?
On Yontif, yeah.
That's part of the question here, right? Because again, according to Reb Shimon, you'd be right, because Reb Shimon basically denies virtually all of Hilchos Muktzah. So according to him, you can just do whatever you want. But according to Rabbi Nechemiah, and to a certain degree Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribed to varying degrees to Hilchos Muktzah, you can't just throw whatever you want into the fire. It needs to be set aside from before Yontif. That's the point of the Gemara here. That's the point the Gemara is trying to make here, right?
I guess I just don't get why. But even according to the most machmir opinion, as long as it can be used to fuel the fire.
That should be enough of a justification to overcome muktzah, but again, you still would need to set it aside. In other words, if the kli was intact when Yontif began, that clearly means I never had in mind to throw it into the fire. I mean, again, presumably I never had in mind to throw it into the fire. So in other words, you still need to to go through the process of designating it as something that you're going to use for the fire, instead of saying, oh well, in theory I could have used this for the fire, so therefore it's muktzah. That's part of the issue in this Gemara. That's exactly what these Tanaim are fighting about here, because you're right. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, and obviously according to Rabbi Nechemiah, it's going to be more problematic.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Question to follow up on that.
Yeah.
Do all of the kli's, like, do I have to have in mind Erev Shabbos that I might take my hammer to break open a nut, or can I spontaneously on Shabbos say, let me reach up to the toolbox to break up the snow.
So that touches on something that we spoke about the last couple of days. So remember the Gemara, I think it was 2 days ago, spoke about this question about, maybe there are distinctions between different types of hammers. You know, if it's a blacksmith versus a goldsmith's hammer, right? Or a spice, whatever. So the simple answer probably is that, again, the Gemara says that if it's a klisha malach to liyisr, if it's a tzorach gufo makomo, so I would say probably not, because if you think about it, the case of litzorach makomo, by definition, you're not setting anything aside, right? Litzorach means a hammer is sitting on my Shabbos table and I want to set the table. So by definition, there's nothing set aside there, so presumably that wouldn't apply. But again, here in general, we when we talk about whether something is muktzah or not, so that, oftentimes will require a specific designation before Shabbos or Yontif to overcome that problem of muktzah. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Nachman, Hani livne de ishtayer mi binyana, shari letal tulinu, de chazul mizgalayu, shraginu vaday akzinu. So the Gemara says, let's say I was building, I was building some kind of a building, and I had some bricks that were left over from the construction. So the Gemara says that you would be allowed to carry those bricks on Shabbos. Why? Because you can use the bricks to sit on, right? They can be made into a chair. However, the Gemara says, if you arrange the bricks in a specific order where it was clear that you were going to end up using them for construction in the future, so then it will be a problem. Because there you clearly set them aside for the purposes of Bonev, Binyan, and you would not be allowed to carry those on Shabbos. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Cheres Kitana Mutter Letalto B'chatzer, Avo B'charmelis Lo, V'Rav Nachman Didei Amar Afilu B'charmelis Avo B'Rishus HaRabim Lo, V'Rav Amar Afilu B'Rishus HaRabim. We have a three-way machlokas in the Gemara regarding where exactly is a person permitted to carry what's called a sheres katana, a small piece of earthenware. So according to Shmuel, it's only mutter to carry that in your chatzer, in your courtyard. Where again, this is in terms of hilchos mukta, not in terms of hilchos hotza, right? According to Rav Nachman, you can even carry in a karmelis, and according to Rav, you can even carry it in a real rishus harabim. What's the issue here exactly? The Gemara says va'azda Rava l'tamei, the Rava have a ka'azel beriska l'mechoza. One time, Rava was walking in the streets of Mechoza, in the market of Mechoza. So the Gemara says isvasai v'sanei tina. His shoes got dirty. There was a clay or dirt that got on his shoes. So asa shama, he called over to his servant shakal chaspa v'kamechapirle. So his servant took a piece of earthenware and started scraping the dirt off his shoes. So ramu be rabbanan kala. So the rabbi started yelling at Rava. You know, they started saying, you know, you're being mechal Shabbos. What are you doing? So Rava said back to them, lo mistaya de lo gemire migmar nami megamri. He says it's bad enough that you guys are learning, but you're also teaching Torah. In other words, he was basically saying to them that, you know, you guys don't really know the halakha. He says, like, you know, like you guys are yelling at me for what you think is chol Shabbos. You don't really know what you're talking about. He says, ilu b'chatzer havai milo hava chazil lechasuya be'mana hachanami chazil ledidi. He says the same way that if I was in my own backyard, I could use this piece of pottery, this piece of earthenware, to cover a kli, to cover some kli that I left outside in the backyard. So here too, it has a function. Again, he's not, in other words, Rav is not addressing the issue of carrying in general in the Rosh Hashanah. That's a separate question. He's addressing the muktzah aspect of this, right? He's saying, mitzad hilchus muktzah, this is not muktzah. Why? Because it has a function. What's the function? To scrape the dirt off my shoes, right? Using a piece of earthenware has a purpose on Shabbos to scrape dirt off the shoes. Okay. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Megufas Chavis Shenichtesa Mutter L'Talta B'Shabbos, Tanya. So if let's say I had a barrel and the seal of the barrel broke on Shabbos, I would be permitted to carry the barrel together with all the broken pieces and the broken shards on Shabbos. However, the Gemara says, "V'lo yispos mi mena shever lechasos ba'esachli v'lismoch ba'kare hamita v'im zarka ba'ashpa aser." However, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to lechadchila go ahead and break off, you know, part of that kli or a part of the barrel to cover a kli with it or to prop up the leg of a bed. But if you and also the Gemara says if I took part of the shards of the kli of the barrel and threw them into the garbage, then they're going to be usher anyway because that's clear that I was not planning to use them for any permissible function. So the Gemara asks Maskeflor of Papa Elameata Zarek Leila Glime Hachanami Dasser. Let's say a guy takes his cloak and he throws the cloak into the garbage. So the Gemara says, why does that make it muktzah? In other words, who cares what your intention is? Hilchos muktzah seemingly should just depend on whether the kli has functionality. A cloak, regardless of whether it's in your closet or in a garbage, still has functionality. So why does that make it, in other words, why would that be a problem? So in other words, the Gemara is asking, so who cares that I threw pieces of the barrel into the garbage? Why does that change anything? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Amar Rav Papa, im zarka mi ba'odiyom la'ashpa asura. The Gemara means to say that if I threw the shards into the garbage before Shabbos began, then they're going to be a problem because that is a clear indication that I was not planning to use these shards as a kli on Shabbos. So Amar Bar Hamduri Amar Shmuel, Krumios Shamachatzelis Mutter Latalatalam Bishabbos. Let's say I had some kind of a reed mat and pieces of the reed started peeling off of the mat. The Gemara says you would be allowed to carry that on Shabbos. My Taima, Amar Rava, Bar Hamduri Asperali, Machatzelis Gufa Lamaichazia Lechasuye Beafra, Hanena Michazin Lechasuye Behutinofest. The same way that the reed mat is able to be used to cover over dirt, so too the pieces, the strips of the reed that you're peeling off of the mat can also be used to cover over things which are dirty, meaning to say that they have a function on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Zeira Amar Rav, Shiyare Prusmios Asur L'Taltalon B'Shabbos. You are not allowed to carry, basically, again, pieces of your garment that are starting to come apart from the main part of the cloak on Shabbos. Amar Abaye, B'Matlonios She'en Bahen Gimel Al Gimel De Lo Chazin Lo La'aniyim Lo La'ashirim. Abaye explains that we're discussing these you know small rags, small pieces of cloth that are less than 3x3 etzbos. They're very, very small, where no one can wear them. They're not fit for clothing for rich or for poor people. Therefore, the Gemara says that's why they're muktzah. But a regular garment which has functionality, even if it was peeled off of a larger garment, would not be considered to be muktzah. Okay, so we'll stop here.